And welcome to our show, Geeks Are Wired Podcast, where we talk about video games, movies, TV, comic books, technology, and TLDR, the Internet of Things. Today we have a Bill.
Hello.
As a host, and we also have myself and Anthony. If you would like to contact us, you can do so at geeksarewired@gmail.com, or you may call or text us at 801-896-4335 or 801-896-GEEK. And if you would like to support us on Patreon, you can do so at patreon.com/geeksarewired. And what do you get, Bill, for doing that?
You get the access to the podcast early. You get taxed if you get the secret Geeks Are Wireless episode now.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, Patreon decided to start taxing people.
In most states, not all states.
Well, it depended on the service.
Yeah, that was a thing.
And also not just states.
Yeah, regions. It did say regions.
Yeah, there are countries that...
I think it said states and regions.
So it depends on your... And it's the patron's location, not...
Oh.
Our location.
Really?
Yes. So if you support somebody from
Britain,
you are taxed Idaho tax. If somebody from Britain supports us, they are taxed their taxes.
That might explain why my bill wasn't any different than what it normally is.
And it does depend, because all the providers, we had to go in and we had to mark what is being provided. So like many of our levels are... support, you know, getting access to the podcast early is a minuscule thing. It is more support. You are helping support us, just giving us money, helping us.
So is that taxed?
It said not in most locations.
Interesting. But if you get like a product out of it or something.
Or you get something specific. So that's why the Geeks Are Wireless one is taxed in some locations, because it is a digital good that is only available through that tier.
That's not confusing at all. Okay.
I know. So there's physical and digital goods that are taxed. If it's only offered through that spot. And digital is that wonkiness. The physical is obviously going to get taxed because you're not going to be like, I give this away everywhere eventually, but these people get it first.
Yes.
So that's where the digital comes in.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
So I had... You remember that app that was really cool where it was short-form videos? Super popular in the app stores.
Vine?
No. The later one.
Oh, the later one? Facebook?
I guess...
No, they kind of did short-form a little bit.
Did they ever... After when they tried ripping off everybody else.
How about Instagram? Would you accept Instagram, kind of?
Almost.
Okay.
They're definitely trying. Except for theirs can be longer.
Is it... I can't remember the name of it now.
Tic Tac?
Yeah, was it the Tic Tacs?
It was not the Tic Tacs.
Oh, was it Zen?
It's Zen!
Okay, what about Zen?
So, remember last week I was talking about it's basically like a bunch of accounts that are... themed and complete ripoffs of TikToks or Instagrams.
Do you have an update on that?
I do.
Okay, what's the update?
So it gained more attention on that they were ripping off. And there were even people that they had accounts made under their names. And they were a complete 100% ripoff from their TikTok accounts. Video for video, everything else. People are like, is this you? Like, I can't even get this app in my country.
So interesting.
They're like, nope. Well, because of all that, the app has been removed from... Oh, actually, there is one more thing that really did kind of get it too. A lot of these posts were put up back on February 19th. That is many weeks before the app even became available.
Oh,
yes.
So that means that this is an inside thing.
Correct.
Jeez.
So Apple and Google have both pulled it. There's a lot of stuff that they've been like, no.
Why didn't they even, they didn't even fudge the date? What?
I know. They didn't like go in and like try to
that's a rookie mistake.
Fake information. I know, especially for somebody that there's like having Tencent fund them so much money. I bet they're going to be, they're pissed, I bet.
Probably.
And the other parent company that's the big competitor of ByteDance, I don't think they're going to recover well from this.
Yeah, maybe not. What was that thing I was going to put on the Trellos?
You were going to put on that Quibi.
Oh, okay.
Now we can just go to that. Quibi could be cast to Apple devices, but now it can be also cast to Google devices.
Yay.
So your short form videos, your 10-minute long videos instead of your 60-second videos,
mm-hmm.
can now be cast to your television, which will make me want to watch it much more. A lot more.
I'm still not going to watch it. And I could cast it to my Apple TV.
There were some shows I was interested in, but I just, even on the iPad, a little bit bigger screen, I just was like, I just want to watch it on the TV. I might watch it on a computer. That happens once in a while, but it's becoming rarer and rarer.
I heard, if I watch it on the computer, it's because it's on my laptop in my bed, and now that's on my iPad now.
And yeah, I've been making things more for their purpose. So when I go in my bed, I am going to bed. I'm not doing anything else. Might read to clear the mind, but
yeah, I'll do that too. But me, that bothers a lot of people, but it doesn't really affect me too much. It might make me go to bed faster if I did that, actually fall asleep, but it's not a big problem for me right now, so.
You're still going to add that to the show notes?
Yeah, I'm trying. The internet's being a pain because I'm hotspotting inside of your basement now.
Yes, because the internet's amazing. Actually, I called them up going hey, I'm having issues, and it just come right back up. I knew, I've had it just cut off a few times already during the day. I'm like, no, this has got to get reported. It officially bugged me. As soon as I was like, oh, yeah, hold up your account. He's like, hold on for a sec. Can you hold for a moment? I'm like, yeah, I can do that. So I was able to do my work, so I was able to do my thing. I was on hold for some time. Luckily, I had other things going on. And I just had my Bluetooth earpiece in, so it was fine.
Yeah.
And he comes back and he's like, yeah, once I pulled up your account, we looked at the neighborhood and the entire neighborhood is down. Area is down. So I was lucky that my internet was still working, but apparently my neighbors weren't, and none of them were. So yeah, Now we're doing it the old fashioned way.
Yeah. Breaking the social distancing
in the basement. Hey, there's only two of us.
Yeah. We are 6 feet apart.
Ish. So
it's close enough.
Yeah, I'm like, I looked at. Oh, yeah.
I'm rounding. I'm using meters, and I'm rounding up.
Yeah.
It's about
kind of like what a lot of these stores and restaurants and bars are doing.
Yeah.
This is 6 feet, right? No, that's 2 inches.
Okay. When I said rounding up, I mean, so it's probably 1.7 meters, maybe 1.8 meters between us.
I can see that.
And so I was rounding up to the nearest integer. That one makes sense. I wasn't multiplying by a factor of five.
Yeah. There's a couple of those.
I'm trying to find the Trello extension on here. I found it.
Yay! Keyboard shortcuts. They're awesome.
Yeah, I need to do that. Actually, yours isn't loading on here.
Aw. Sad panda. Well, while you're doing that, we're also getting more about stories. There is a new story for watching shows / stories on your computer that's interactive, but with your friends.
Wait, watching what on the computer?
Stories / shows.
Okay.
It's an interactive storytelling app.
Oh.
And it's called What If I?
What If I?
What If I?
Oh, what so if basically, I?
It's all, subbed together as one word, but it's What If I?
So is this kind of a choose your own adventure about cooperative?
Yes, it has to be co-opted. So this is, I almost think like this is the best for team building, but it being supported by Anderson Horowitz and former Netflix CEO David Wells. Tons of people are, lots of money behind this, but you all come together, you start watching the show together, though on your own devices. So this is a great for this time period, great for social distancing, all that jazz. And you come up to the first choice and you vote. But it has to be unanimous to continue.
Oh, goodness.
Yes. It can't be majority rule. It has to be 100% or none at all. There's chat features in it. People explain, well, why do I want to go this way? Or you could always go in with the entirety. Everyone choose the left one. Everyone choose option one. Or I haven't
seen. If you choose option two, you get booted.
Well, we really dislike you because you're holding us up.
Did that show up in the... Hey, it did. Yay.
Yay. Let's see, what else? PayPal co-founder Max Levchin and Zynga creator, founder, is also behind supporting all this. So that's, you know, there's, like I said, tons of money, tons of stuff behind this. So the chat room will help so you can interact. You all have to choose. It's really interesting, I think. Because this could... It brings the interaction to the Choose Your Adventure. I may be willing to watch it. It's supposed... It's either out or it's coming out on iOS first and Android later.
Interesting. So it's video based.
Yes. With a chat system built in.
I could make... I don't like communicating in a chat room on my phone usually.
Yeah.
Because I can't type fast enough. I'd much rather just use a keyboard. So that might be annoying for me.
Whoa.
What?
So this is interesting. Well, I was trying to like hunt down the information, the What If I app, whether it's somebody trying to claim it or whatever. The whatifiapp.com website is suspended due to a debt.
What?
I'm not sure if that's actually the official like thing. Because I'm like, wait a second, that means that it, yeah, either they're having issues and they've gone down, or, which is going to be interesting because they have way too much money behind them right now. I'm betting that somebody ended up making a knockoff app page.
What?
Either that or they got taken down for something.
What are you going to?
Whatifiapp.com.
Oh, I just went to whatifi.com.
So did that pull up the app information?
It says, tell your movies where to go.
Okay, so the whatifiapp.com is totally a ripoff app that's being...
Could be.
Download or somebody forgot to do the redirect and put on the, you know...
Oh, it could be, yeah.
The, you know, Netflix creator's credit card. It's like, you know, you're supposed to use the $10 billion credit card, not the $10 credit card.
So there's a link to the app store. Trying to see if it's
currently active.
Yeah. It's loading still.
So
we're getting there.
With that, like it's not supposed to come out on Android till later. When later is probably depends on how big this gets or how much they want to push into it. But the popular Apple got it first. Easier to write on at the current point, or at least the more popular to write on.
Yeah. I don't have a way. Well, actually.
Because you're on your tablet. Not on your telephone.
I'm on my Mac, not my telephone. Now I'm on my telephone.
Well, you were on your computer. Now you're on your telephone.
Yeah.
I'm going to try it on my tablet.
Your tablito?
I'm going to see. Because like, Quibi originally couldn't be used on tablets. They had to be on the phone only.
Really?
Yeah. They did not want it to be on big screen at all.
Oh, that's weird. Like, I get it at the same time, but I don't. Okay, I can actually download it. Is it a subs? Do you have to pay for it?
Didn't say about that.
I guess I could look to see if there's.
Guess I could have probably downloaded it before all this. I just, like, read the article. And
it says free, and I don't see any in-app purchases.
I'm betting
online,
there's ads just like everything else.
I would download it, but I think it's a big app.
I'm downloading it.
122 megabytes.
Going for it, dude.
Fine, I'll try it.
Oh, you don't have to. I'm with T-Mobile. That's where I'm going through with my internet, and I have extra stuff because they're awesome with my 5Gs.
I am tempted.
I like it. Though you're going to be getting ARM architecture here soon.
Allegedly.
No, that is not alleged anymore.
Did they actually release that?
That information is very much out there, especially where they're walking away from Intel just in time for Intel to have more chip issues.
What other issues did they have?
Now there's chip issues where things will actually jump chips into other chips. So you can, through the Intel chip, you're able to access other chips through everything, and which is a big issue. Supposedly they've patched it, but I'm thinking that we're back to the warning Intel Inside again.
Did that used to be a thing?
Yeah, back in the 90s.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I'm really surprised they actually have survived all this stuff so well.
Well, I mean, AMD probably didn't kill them because they somehow were able to get a compiler for like the C language to deliberately cripple AMD if it detected it was an AMD processor.
Yeah.
And like the benchmarking tools were also doing that too. They found that out like years later, but like 10 or more years after the fact, but still. And now AMD is still just crushing them.
Well, they have their ups and downs, but AMD also is trying to, when they went heavy into GPUs, they kind of stalled out for a moment.
AMD?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I see. Well, they technically bought ATI.
But
and we're using that. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, I got the app. It kind of reminds me of. Yeah. There's all sorts of like. There's the shows. But it is the phone version that I have to expand.
Oh, I see.
Yes, it's not made for the
I've
tablet.
I've never actually opened up an app that was like that on my iPad before.
Oh, because I don't have an iPhone. If I want something, it's only available on the.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying I've never experienced it.
Oh, yeah. I've experienced with multiples. And I was like, oh.
I forgot that was a thing. So I think the only reason why, going back to Apple. So where did. Okay, well, I'll backtrack into that in a second. Another reason why I don't think they went with AMD and they might go with ARM. Because I still haven't heard your source yet, but we'll get to that after. Is that I think AMD still, at least for their mobile stuff, still has power issues. And where Apple's been known for years to have very good battery life for their laptops compared to like a Windows laptop, they probably don't want to go with AMD, even though like when they did go with Intel, the i9s were notorious for like burning people.
Yeah.
So that's you know, maybe that's not a thing, but so what's your source?
Well, they're all over. There's 9to5Mac.
Well, I know that, but they've been saying that like that's just another rumor thing that.
And that's actually back in February. There's.
Well, yeah, that's been a thing that's been like they've been saying that for years.
Where was the? I know I heard one that was more recent. VentureBeat. Is that a better one?
Well, I mean, I saw some articles I think either this morning or a couple of days ago that we're talking about it. But I don't even click on those anymore because they're just rumors. And I don't really care about rumors. I am kind of slightly excited, somewhat, if they do it, though. Just because I am curious how they will support the old architecture and if they'll support apps running on ARM. Like, if they'll provide, like, a universal thing like they did back when they switched from PowerPC to Intel.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they'll just stop supporting Intel-based stuff for the ARM.
So stuff. It's being brought up by them talking about for the last few years that they were going to be dropping Intel.
Oh, okay. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean that they'll go to ARM. They might go to AMD.
I really don't expect them to go to AMD.
Just because they want to drop Intel doesn't mean that they're going to drop the x86 platform.
But ARM is actually getting smaller and faster and less power usage.
Well, they've always had the less power usage thing.
But they're starting to get smaller. They're currently producing the 3-nanometer chips. They're talking about next year being able to produce the 5-nanometer chips, and by 2022 be able to produce the 7 or 8-nanometer chips.
I think he went backwards.
Oh yeah, maybe I was.
Cause
yeah, that does get bigger. You're right.
Yeah,
but they're talking about being able to get the 3-nanometers in for the phones by 2022 and the tablets.
And honestly, I think the only reason why they can do that and the other people like Intel and AMD can't is because the power usage thing.
Mm.
Like if you're not pumping as much power through the circuits, they're much less likely to jump.
Yeah.
And they're much less likely to heat up to the point where you'll cause a meltdown.
Mm-hmm.
Like not a nuclear meltdown, but your chips will melt together.
Yeah. Or you also start having data jump.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was meaning. Like because the power isn't as high for a ARM chip, I'm thinking there's less noise. So they're not as likely to jump. Or, because I don't know that for sure at all. This is just me guessing. But the other thing is they might just have something figured out that AMD and Intel don't, which is possible, honestly.
When is WWDC again? Isn't that like...
I think it's somewhat soon.
I want to say it's like a week or so away.
WWDC.
That is when we will absolutely find out. This is June 22nd to 26th.
Well, I'm glad you figured that out. Maybe I will switch to T-Mobile.
Actually, I jumped back on the internet.
Oh.
Though I was jumping around the internet pretty well in T-Mobile, but when I went to download that app, I decided I needed more internet.
I wonder if that ever finished downloading. Nope, it's halfway.
Yeah, once I saw how slow it was, I'm like, I'm switching the internet. I jumped back on the
Sparklight. We'll know somewhere between the 22nd and the 26th if that's what they'll
officially.
Because I'm sure if they are going to do that, they'll announce it. Is that when they'll announce the iPhone? No. That's when they'll talk about iOS.
That's the developer conference. So they...
Yeah.
They may talk about... They will talk about the operating system.
Mm-hmm.
They may talk about some of... Well, if ARM is actually going to be it, they will talk about the hardware.
Oh, yeah. They'll bring it up, too, because they want people to develop, like, have stuff ready for it.
Yeah.
Even though, I mean, like, 3 months isn't a whole lot of time. Well, but if they are going to support universal-based stuff, like they did on the other old transition,
yeah,
then 3 months would be enough time, especially if they just provide a way to, like... You add this flag to when you're compiling this app, and it's all of a sudden a universal app. Works for both.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is what they did with the PowerPC stuff, but yeah, anyways.
Back when they moved from RISC to Intel?
Was the PowerPC a RISC processor?
Pretty sure. That's where they moved from. I know they were on RISC at one point, but I'm pretty sure it was...
Well, okay, so... They've done, I think, 3 platform jumps so far.
Okay, so
were on, like, some Motorola-based chips, and then they were still using Motorola chips, but they were PowerPC-based, and then they moved to Intel in, like, 07, 08, something like that.
Yeah.
So it's been about 12, 13 years. And that's been going great for them so far until, you know, Intel's been, yeah.
Well, they want better, they want faster, they want all that jazz. They may, or they'll talk about the hardware. They might, I don't see them getting too much in detail in the hardware, though. That might be later when they start talking, you know, for regular people who are like, oh, this is the phone coming out. The OS, absolutely see them talking about that. With that, Android 11 is out. For you to download or test or whatever. The be weary of downloading it. Because this is the early beta.
So it's like the iOS developer preview.
Yeah. This is totally the developer preview of it. If you do it, it really is at your own risk. The Verge was saying that it was only available on the Pixel. I'm like, wrong Google version. It was only available on the Pixel phone, the newest ones. Wired was saying you can get it here. So there may be some, because Google has done that, going like, well, you can download it, but you need the specific version of phone to do it.
Yeah, then that makes sense, really.
And if you're really wanting to do the beta, it's just wait till September.
So PowerPC, going back, was RISC. And Intel and AMD, which is the x86 platform, is CISC.
Is what?
CISC with a C.
Ah.
Which stands for a Complex Instruction Set Computer. So, yeah. And I wonder what ARM is.
Already.
Mm-mm.
Mine.
Mm-mm. Nope. You're wrong. Wow, okay. Wikipedia's ARM article is about ARMs. Go figure.
Hey.
I want the disambiguation. I didn't say that word right. I don't care. I kind of care. ARM architecture is also RISC.
Oh. Interesting.
Which kind of makes sense, really.
It's a simple architecture.
Yep. So ARM, previously Advanced RISC Machine, originally a core Acorn RISC machine. So that's what it stood for, was those two. And they've been around since 85. Way longer than I thought.
I could see that. Makes sense.
And their 32-bit and 64-bit architectures were released 9 years ago. Oh, wait. Maybe that was the hybrid version. I think that was the one that supported 64-bit. So never mind. Like, it could do both 32 and 64-bit, just like how our processors can only do, like, how they can do both, like Intel and AMD can do both 32 and 64. And fun fact, Intel has 64-bit done way back in the day, but they couldn't get 32-bit stuff to work. So they actually worked with AMD on that part.
Yeah.
Because AMD had it figured out. So, fun little history trivia.
Back on the Android 11 beta.
Okay.
Super beta. Developer beta.
Alpha? Would you call it alpha?
They're calling it, they say Android 11 beta. That's why I'm going developer beta. Okay. The Android 11 developer preview. Ooh, that's an even better name that they have attached to it.
So the same thing that iOS does. Okay.
Yeah. It. You can't, and I'm bet, but you don't have to pay to get part of Android's system like you do with Apple's.
No, I think you can get the developer preview without paying.
If you know, somebody is paying for the for Apple's developer preview. If you get a developer preview, you're getting it through somebody who has paid for it, and they've probably loaded up something on it. You really don't want to get into that unless you're going to pay for it.
Well, it's still signed. I think the developer preview is still signed.
And they're paying for you to download it and use it at that point.
Yeah.
And that also where you're downloading it through them for that, if they upload it with certain apps or stuff like that, or certain things that they've been working on, you get those. Good news or bad news.
Hmm.
Somebody could be being mean. Somebody could be being nice.
Well, I don't know. I still think that it has to be signed in order for you to actually install it.
But it's signed by the person who's paying for it.
No, well, it's signed by Apple.
Well, yeah, but they can still install stuff.
But it's not going to be... It'll be anything that was... All right, whatever. I don't know.
Whatever they're working on with their... It's like, that's why they're developing it. But okay, back on the Apples. So their website says you can try it today on Pixel 2, 3, 3A, and 4 devices. If you want the others, it doesn't actually go into the details on that, but you can set up an Android 11 environment, an emulator, all this other stuff. So if you knew what you were doing and you wanted to try to work on it, you could probably get it installed on any Android phone you wanted.
I don't know.
It's a lot of work, but...
Okay, so you'd have to be one of those people who develop, like, the rooted OSs?
Yeah.
So you'd have to be one of them. Or a phone manufacturer. So, probably not going to happen for most people, but maybe, I don't know.
It is on Developer Preview 3 right now.
Ooh.
I know.
So they've had at least two before that.
Well, that 3 came back out on April 23rd. Wow, that's actually been a while.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the... Okay, there's the developer preview, and this is the beta launch. This is still not the user beta... Don't... Yeah, people don't go download this. This is not the user beta launch, unless you want to deal with the bugs. So there may be stuff with the developer that Apple or that Android has that's like Apple's where you have to pay into it. But it's super early beta right now.
And by paying into it, it's because Apple, like in order to develop for them, you have to purchase, I think it's like $100, like a developer license.
Mm.
And that, so, and because you have the, you're now registered as a developer, you get the previews for the OSs because that's how, like, they want to make sure that you can actually, like, your apps are ready for it. And then whenever the actual beta comes out that everybody can install, then that works. But
so what is good about 11 is they're catching up to Apple on certain things.
Yeah.
Or OnePlus even. Because yeah. OnePlus even has some of these features. They've had them for a while.
So what features?
The apps can only use your location while the app is open.
Only?
That's an option.
Oh, okay. Got it.
So you can go, yes, you can always use my location. You can only use it while the app's open, or you could never use it.
Can you? Do they have an option for allow once? Because iOS has that. I've never really used it, but I know it's a thing.
OnePlus does not. I have not heard about that in Android 11. I could see, but what Android 11 does have, which was very interesting, was a limited life on approvals. So if you...
Oh.
Yeah, so you give your app's approvals,
mm-hmm.
and then you leave it installed on your phone or your phone because there's
so,
no...
So you have, you have to renew it periodically.
You have to open it. And oh. after you open it, if it's been past the time, it will ask you for permissions. Currently, they're experimenting with different cutoffs around 60 to 90 days.
So what happens when it hits that cutoff and you haven't opened the app?
Android in the background will shut off permissions for that app. I know. There's pros and cons to this.
I would prefer, like, that doesn't make sense to me. What makes sense is at the end of that 60, 90 days, you get prompted to see if you would like it to continue having location access. Just shutting it off silently, I don't think that's a good idea.
It's not just location either. There's camera access, there's contacts, there's
storage. Okay, that stuff makes sense. I just mean like the passive stuff. And it's only, I only think that because, like, yes, privacy is good, but those, some of those apps, like, it's kind of like you need them to let them have location access. And if they just stop randomly working, it's going to be really frustrating for you.
So it's also but it's still going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting for a lot of apps, like the Fitbit app. You're right. That's one. I never open it.
Mm-hmm.
It just sits there quietly gathering my data from my watch and giving me my text messages and telling me that I got phone calls and all this other stuff. I don't open the app. I haven't been doing the challenges lately, but yeah, that's, I don't know. That's another thing, but I don't open that. Actually, I'm currently in the Fitbit Pro because they gave it away to everyone for 3 months.
I didn't even bother with that because I didn't want to have to worry about canceling.
I have a Google reminder to cancel it. Like a week before it goes over. I've looked at it. It's more annoying to me than anything else because it started shifting things around on me. It's like, oh, well, now you're a pro. Your view is different in these spots. Mike, I just wanted to look at my oxygen sensor.
Yeah.
Great. I have to dig into this.
So to counter with that, I never used to open up my Fitbit app. But ever since, I think they're on iOS 12 now or 13.
Yeah.
It will just periodically just kill it. And so I have to open it up every like 2 to 3 days.
So
to get it to refresh.
So that's going to be a thing.
I think that's Fitbit not updating the app to work with Apple anymore. But I don't know. Because I have other apps that just stay open.
Well, we'll be just fine.
Yeah.
So that's something that they're going to have to worry about. I use Nova Launcher. I've actually gone into my phone and go like, oh, let's clean up storage. And it goes, Nova Launcher, because I have Pro. It's like, Nova Launcher Pro has never been opened. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, because it's always open.
Yeah.
Why? No, you don't. And I was like, one time I was like, okay, fine. Maybe I don't use the Pro features. And I uninstalled it and I use Pro features.
Mm-hmm.
Just a few of them. That's all it really has. I paid for it for a purpose. I supported them. And then I found some cool stuff they use. I used their features. I had to reinstall it. I had to reset everything back up. It's, you know, Nova Launcher. I barely ever open it, if even ever. But if the storage permissions get blocked on it, it's going to suck because suddenly my app, my UI is going to stop working.
Yeah, and so like I agree that they should have like a limit on that, but I think they need to prompt.
Or exceptions, kind of like the power usage or data usage. Going like, this app will always and forever have permissions. You will never block this app's permissions.
I wonder if they have that or not.
It would be good because they're, you know, like with Apple and with OnePlus, use my GPS all the time or while the app is open.
Yeah.
So there's going to be some interestingness. I hope Android ends up realizing there's apps out there that are going to need perma permissions that are never going to be opened, that are always set there in the background. And I hope the developers let them know that, like, hey, we will work with you. We have no problem with this, but don't just shut off our apps.
Yeah, we need to have a middle ground.
Because in about 60 to 90 days after 11 is officially released, there's going to be some really pissed off people.
Mm-hmm. It's going to, like, there's going to be pissed off people anyways, just because this is going to be a big shift. But which is weird because, like, with Apple, I think there's a bunch of praise, and I feel like with Google, there's going to be a lot of people hating it.
Well, you don't have to upgrade. I always liked upgrading.
Yeah.
That's why I liked having the new OnePlus. I finally made it to 10, just in time for 11 to come out.
Yeah.
Though it is OnePlus's version of 10, but it is really nice.
What, they have Oxygen OS, is that it? That's what they call it, I think.
But I thought Oxygen was, no, I thought Oxygen was Huawei's.
Hmm.
I'm going to go look it up.
Yeah, me too.
Because it's right there. Did you find it?
I'm still
looking. It is Oxygen OS.
Okay.
I thought Huawei's was Oxygen.
No, I think Huawei's is their own little thing.
Well, that Oxygen is OnePlus's own little thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't even spell Huawei anymore.
Oh, there's one for the Chinese market called Hydrogen OS. Wait, huh?
Is that their, like...
Is OnePlus a Chinese company?
OnePlus is a, I think, a Swedish company.
Because it says on here that Harmony. There is another version of the OS designed specifically for the Chinese home market. Oh, maybe it's like an Android TV kind of thing.
All right. Huawei's is called Harmony OS.
Ah, that makes sense.
But I feel like it was, when I had my Huawei, I don't think it was called that. It is. It's the new operating system as of last year. So whatever I had all those years ago was probably something else. But yeah. And yeah, the Chinese market, because Google started cutting them off, they had to start making, there was the talk of them making their own OS for the Chinese market only because Google started going like, no, we're not letting you put Android on Huawei phones or all the other versions, which is a kind of a big thing because there's currently only two phones that own OSs on the market, the majority of them. And if somebody can actually compete successfully, kind of big.
Yeah.
But the Chinese market would be forced into it. And was it South Korea has been working on theirs, Samsung? They want to get out of the Android market.
I don't know that they'll ever be able to, though.
They've been trying. They every once in a while, they like push a little here and there. I think if the Chinese market officially does a good job with it, I feel like South Korea, Samsung is going to really try even harder.
Which I think, the thing is like, I'm not against them trying. I just don't know that they'll be able to just because, like, a lot of people on their Samsung phones, they have bought all their stuff from the Android market. And once Samsung's like, hey, we have our own thing now. You have to rebuy all your stuff. There's going to be a lot of pissed off people.
Yeah, and that's the biggest reason why I've never switched to Apple is because I've purchased into the Google ecosystem.
Yeah, to me, I don't care so much. And I've been, like, so close to buying a OnePlus phone recently. But the thing keeping me here is my watch.
Yeah.
And the only reason why, like, I could get another watch, the only good watch out there that I think I'd get is a Samsung one, like the Gear one.
Yeah.
But because, like, Android Wear just sucks. Like, it's their Wear OS. They haven't tried. Like, they did a big push in the beginning, and they did a half-hearted push about 2 years after that, and then they've just kind of left it.
And that's why I'm liking Fitbits, their smartwatches.
Yeah, and I don't like the Fitbit that you have. I don't like the way it looks.
It looks like an Apple Watch.
No, the Apple Watch is more stylish.
Yeah, keep telling the people that always ask me if I have an Apple Watch on.
I know. It does look similar to it, but it looks cheaper to me.
It looks wider and thinner.
Maybe it's because of the bezels. I don't know. On mine, the bezels, like, I can see a clear distinction between the screen and the bezel on yours.
Yeah.
Whereas on mine, like, you it can blends. If you're looking at it at a weird angle. And that's nothing, like, that's not a bad thing. It's just, it bugs me personally.
Yeah.
So if you're fine with it, that's fine. It's just, I'm also just kind of, like, I feel like Fitbit's kind of, I like their simpler watches.
I understand. Yeah, I've been liking these watches, because I used to wear an analog watch all the time, and then I wore two watches, and I was like, this looks, I just didn't like the look of it on me, and then I...
What are you talking about?
It looks stupid.
I love it. Another thing is the Apple Pay. Like, I know Android Pay is a thing, and it's accepted almost nearly anywhere now.
Pretty much the same places, yeah.
Yeah, and Samsung Pay actually has a one-up on all of them because I'm pretty sure you can...
It works everywhere. Swipe credit cards are accepted.
Because it will mimic the swiping of the credit card.
Yes.
If you hold it up to the credit card reader. So they... that's, like... They have a one-up on everybody because of that.
They have a big, that's a big one up.
Yeah. Like, I don't think a lot of people know that, but still. And otherwise, yeah, I like, because Apple Pay, like, every single place I've seen Android Pay accepted or any kind of wireless pay, it's always Apple Pay. And a lot of the times the Apple Pay stuff supports Android Pay. Mm-hmm. It just isn't advertised.
Yeah.
But still, like, yeah, I'm probably not going to switch, but I have thought about it, especially the 8 Pro, because for the OnePlus, because of the camera stuff it has on it. Like, you, I really like the cameras.
You mean the camera stuff that they just updated the software on and
yes,
kind of made it so it can't see through things anymore?
They have fixed that just recently.
Oh, did they undo it?
Yeah.
So now you can see through things again?
If the article I read today is to be believed. And by article I read, I mean I read the title.
Okay.
And I think I actually saw it like a half hour before trying to call you originally.
Yeah. I could see that. I mean, this last update was big. Like, I was very impressed. And I was getting annoyed at my phone, actually, for a moment there.
Why?
It has Wi-Fi 6. It can take, I think, gigabit transfers, which basically means as fast as my internet can give me.
Yep.
So I have 300 meg. I should be able to test it. I was getting 30. And I was like, why? And I was like, when I first got the phone, it was 300.
I see.
I was like, what's going on? I'm like, I'm testing on my computer, 300. Testing on the iPad, 300. I'm like, why is the phone 30? Like, so the old phone was 30 because it was terrible.
So the they had one, a big regression?
They did something with the network. And it, but they did an update, and it's back up to its speeds. So, and it sounds like they may have fixed some of the Wi-Fi calling issues too. But the Wi-Fi calling still sucks because my internet sucks.
Yeah,
so basically every time I get a phone
call. I had Wi-Fi calling enabled when I first got my phone for AT&T, I think, and it worked a few times. But then there was a lot of times where, even though, like, you know, when I was in my basement, I had it on because my basement, I have very bad service.
Mm.
So getting phone calls down there is kind of annoying. Like, it works most of the time, but sometimes it doesn't. So I turned on Wi-Fi, and it was worse. Like, the quality was good and all that, but, like, you know that with Teams, or not Teams, but, like, voice chats where sometimes the packets will come in out of order?
Oh, yeah.
So that was happening a lot, and that would just go robot-y, or they would go robot-y, which, again, happens on the phone still, like if you're talking over the air, but it's less likely because it's designed for that, whereas home internet most of the time is not designed for VoIP. It works most of the time.
So I, except for this lately,
mm-hmm.
it has been... So I blame my internet because up until recently, the phones that I got from T-Mobile were amazing. And T-Mobile wouldn't say that that was a good thing unless they had officially approved it.
Yeah.
And when they approve it, they are good. I actually, unless there was blocking happening, it was really, really good. T-Mobile made sure of that.
So it was probably more on AT&T side for me, mm-hmm. which I would 100% believe.
Question, back on Android 11.
Yep.
Chat messages or text messages.
Mm-hmm.
They just pop up and you get a little badge on the chat message app, right?
Yes.
So Android 11 is going to... So there's also the rumor of added security on their messaging app, which is the big thing that everyone's been wanting.
Like the RSC or whatever it is?
Well, not that, and just, you know, end-to-end encryption.
Okay.
But it's going to be, their messaging app is going to have like a pop-up, like a little bubble, kind of like Facebook.
So, yeah, Facebook has been doing that for a while, and I think other messaging apps kind of started doing it.
Mm.
And so many have started doing it that Android actually built a bubble API into their OS, and I think Facebook Messenger finally took advantage of it after it's been in there for a while.
Ah, that might be why they finally are going to use it themselves. Like, all right, now we see how Facebook used it.
What annoys me, though, is that at least on the iPad, the bobbles, like on iOS, Facebook doesn't do the bobbles.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it was just because iOS doesn't support it. And maybe it doesn't on the phone. But I know on the iPad, whenever I am watching like a Twitch stream, if I close out of the app, the Twitch stream minimizes into a square on the bottom right.
The picture
and
picture
I can move
thing.
It around. Yeah, it's a picture in picture. And I don't know if that's just available to video, like media-based apps, or if that's a thing that any app can access.
In Android, you have to give permission for it.
Yeah, to draw over the screen. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then there's also a picture-in-picture toggle also for apps. Okay. One that I used to use was Instagrams. So you could watch their videos, or if you were watching a live stream of somebody doing stuff,
mm-hmm.
you could leave the app and it would go to that bottom corner.
Yeah.
In which you could then move around. And then it suddenly stopped working one day. It's the options there. I don't know what's up with Instagram. It's really the only one that I've had the issue with, because I can listen to my podcast and have directions going on in the corner. I can have YouTube videos playing in the corner. I can have just about everything working in the corner of my phone.
But not Instagram?
I don't know why Instagram just... So I stopped caring. I was like, whatever. Because, I used to be able to like just leave the app. It's like, okay, you just play. You can't lock it. That's on, well, at least Instagram, you can't. If you have the pro account, you have YouTube Premium or whatever they want to call it nowadays.
That's YouTube Premium stuff.
Okay. You can lock your phone and it'll still play in the background.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have Premium, it doesn't do that.
Which, I mean, that's an app limitation anyways. And I think most apps are like that unless they're specifically... Like, they have to... I think they have to implement a specific API for them to allow background playing.
Okay.
I think... I don't know. Like, I'm just guessing that because, like, Patreon. Like, you can... Like, if you subscribe or support certain, like, music-based channels, whatever you want to call them.
Or the tier.
Well, yeah, depending on the tier, but you can get videos or audio or what have you. You can play it and it plays just fine, but if you close out of the app, stops. If you lock the phone, stops. And I think that's just because that's how it was implemented and they didn't implement the background stuff. But Spotify works, obviously, and my YouTube stuff works because I pay for Premium. I think there's another one that worked and it was surprising to me, but I don't know what it is.
So this is something else that with 11 that we probably should wrap up here soon, is the do not disturb. You're able to dig into the settings more. Maybe LG did have this because I remember being able to give apps permission. Like, you have permission to bother me in do not disturb mode. Not just text messages, not just priority text messages, not just priority phone calls.
Android had that.
I couldn't find it on my OnePlus.
Maybe they hit it.
It's possible. But people are talking like it's a thing in 11.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Gaining at least more granular control over, you know, how the modes work and everything. My biggest complaint was text messages. I hated it. I don't know. Every time I'd like leave, except do not disturb. Only priority texts, only priority phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
After so much time, suddenly it bounced to no phone calls and all texts. Oh, it would so... Or vice versa.
Actually,
it would bounce.
To me, not getting the phone calls is okay. To the text, I would... Getting the text through would be fine.
Yeah, because
I would
only
hate
be
it the other way around, just because... Like, a lot of the time, I'll enable do not disturb for an hour because I start getting just a bunch of spam calls for a little bit. Like, they'll call, I'll not answer it. They'll call again, not answer. They'll just keep calling. And so I'll turn on do not disturb. And I've actually had to toggle off the allow them again if they call right back.
Yeah, well, I always do that.
That's turned off.
Two tries within a couple of minutes.
Yeah, well, I think it's within like 2 minutes or 3 minutes. Yeah, I just turn that off because that's...
I think that's another T-Mobile thing. And Google Messenger actually has some of that built into. T-Mobile has, if you can just block people from calling you.
Mm-hmm.
It's really nice. Google Messages, you can mark as spam and delete and block.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yes.
I can do that inside of my iPhone.
Yeah.
But it's kind of hidden. They're not hidden, but buried. And I, every time I need to block someone, I have to find it again.
It's weird to block people if they'd sent a mass text. Google has varies on how good it is. There's been times when, like, this person is the spammer, and they just decided to spam 100 people.
Mm-hmm.
I want to block that number and just kill this conversation.
To me, the best thing I can do is I can block that number, but the conversation I have to mute.
Yeah.
The conversation has to stick around.
So whether it's the LG or the, whether it's been updates, they, I can now block that person, but I've had some wonkiness still lately. I can't, so I had to like go pull them out and type the number into Google like mm-hmm. voice or something like that and like block this number.
Yeah.
Kind of like you're going to create an account, but you're really blocking it. The other side is then I'd have to mute it. Now, as soon as I go this group chat, mark the creator, mark the person who started this as spam, and it blocks everything else from this conversation permanently. Deletes it from my history.
Hmm.
And I'm like, that's the way to do it.
That's cool. Yeah. That's another, like, that's one reason why I hate MMS messagings.
Mm-hmm.
Just because if you, at least now, like with my iPhone, I can mute it, so I'm more okay with it. But back whenever I had like an older Android, could not mute it. You were just stuck with it, which just annoyed me to no end.
Yeah.
And eventually, I guess they'll get to where, like, if we get more advanced messaging systems besides SMS again, then...
MMS?
Well, that would technically be MMS, yeah.
Oh, it is more advanced than SMS.
Just because it's multimedia messaging. Multimedia. Is that what it stands for?
Yes.
Yeah, multimedia messaging service. That just seems like it should be three M's, but I guess the multimedia is hyphenated, so whatever.
It's one word. So, give me a famous last words.
No. I never do. What's your famous last words?
I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts.
Doodly-doo.